Hi folks, and welcome to the next episode, episode 6, season 4 of the iReady podcast. We've already got a bloody... here we go.
I'll put it on silent.
Fucking amateur. Yes, we are on episode 6, season 4 of the iReady podcast. As ever, as you've heard these dulcet tones already... I might not say that, actually, because you've probably fucked up already. I'll use that as an outtake. I'll fucking start this again.
You made me think that this was going to actually be more professional. Since for the first time ever, we're actually recording it in the same room.
Exactly. See, what, you know, see when I can't see your face, it's good.
Exactly. I hear that a lot.
Wasn't about the result. It was more about just keeping up fitness and performance, but that never really happened either. Well,
that your boy?
No, it's my sister. Hello? Right, you'll need to be quick, so I'm in the middle of recording a podcast here.
That's nice of your sister, but I'm in shown concern for you, mate.
Talk about bloody professionalism.
Aye, it wasn't me that fucked off, as usual.
Part of the cladding blew off of the outside of Ibrox Park, leaving a big gaping hole.
Ibrox Park.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
I'll start on again.
You got to say that again, for fuck's sake.
I'm going to double check that because I'm not sure.
Go.
No, I'm not doing it because it's rewinding.
No, you did. You said Ibrox Park.
Right, I'll check it when I...
You did, honestly.
Right, mark this time. 86 minutes, I'll double check it.
Went on a bloody run on the treadmill the day I'm all stiff.
I always say that news. It's like Alan Partridge asking.
What was the other programme you were watching? Taboo?
No.
Oh.
Folk have said about that.
Oh. Fine. Oh.
Hi folks, and welcome to season 4, episode 6 of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and I'm with my co-host Dave.
Yes, for the first time ever, we are recording the pod together in the same room. A bit of history, I feel like I'm Captain Kirk, like someone said on Twitter there, in Derek's absolutely fantastic mini studio here, which I think puts a lot of radio stations to shame. Derek, it's the first time I've ever seen it, and I'm mega impressed. We've got microphones, we've got state-of-the-art sound systems, you name it. It's absolutely tremendous, mate. Very well done.
Oh, shucks.
Although it looks professional, it'll no stop me talking utter nonsense on this pod, mate, I'm afraid.
Join the club. I mean, apologies for being so long again. You know the kind of situation with us. To be honest, you know, the podcast is like my sex life. I'm always ready any time of day, waiting on that call from Dave, and that's how it is.
What have I got to do with your sex life?
I said it's like my sex life.
Aye, as you say, Derek, it's been, I mean, quite unbelievable, the fact that I was away on holiday there. But even more strange, the fact is the fact that you were on holiday, you came home, and then 2 days later, I went on holiday, and it turns out they were in exactly the same hotel, which is a bit of a coincidence. But even more shocking was the fact that Derek left his iPod behind in the hotel, and I managed to get it back, which I thought was quite strange. But I'm going to have to shame you in front of all our listeners, Derek.
Just remember, I'm the editor here.
But the fact that when I got Derek's iPod back from him, quite surprised, the first song that I came across was from a certain Scottish songstress by the name of Michelle McManus.
It's a good song.
Even the Spanish guys in the hotel were really quite embarrassed about handing it back to me, mate. So I can see the reason that you actually got it back, no problems. But like I said, I've been away on holiday, and also I had a bit of a problem. I had a social experiment that I actually tried.
What's this over here?
Social experiment where I actually tried to go without the internet in our home for 3 weeks. Well, basically, I had a big fallout with Sky and I told them to stick it. But needless to say, constant complaining from my two children that can't get on their iPads, and my wee boy and his Xbox, and my missus has gone mental because using up all the data. We had about 6 or 7 telephone calls left on our answering machine from Sky on my wife's mobile phone answering machine, because I've got the phone taking it as well. I was in such a rage with them. But they basically phoned us up. They spoke to myself and they offered to put fibre in. So I bowed to pressure for the family and I got the internet back, but it's not getting installed until next week. Hence the reason that I've travelled all the way through here in the snow so that we can record the pod tonight, mate. That is dedication on my half, I have to say.
That is. I'm very impressed, I've got to say. So, but when he says snow, I mean, all the roads are cleared now. It was me who was stuck in traffic for 3 hours a day. So
yeah, there's absolutely no snow in Falkirk until a woman came through here. I was like, oh my God. But as I say, the two of us have been away. I'm just back. I've not got the internet, but I don't think I've missed much in the world of Rangers, Derek, have I?
No, it's just the usual manager changes and things like that.
Exactly. Nothing drastic.
Yes, we will take that as a point to start and we will go down the tunnel and onto the pitch.
Oh, he did it first time!
Woohoo! Right, we've got a few games to cover, but before we do, obviously it's old hat news now, but because we've been so long, you know, taking our time to get the next pod out, we'll just run through the players that have kind of gone and signed for us. John Torrell signed from Arsenal on loan for the rest of the season. Same with Emerson Heinemann, he came in from Bournemouth on loan for the rest of the season. Matt Gilkes, he left apparently for nothing, he's went to Wigan. And we've strangely signed Port Vale keeper Jack Alnwick for £250,000, which for me was a bone of contention, which we'll get onto as usual. Matt Crooks went out on loan to Scunthorpe for the rest of the season. Ross McCrory and Jason Crones out on loan. Don't know who that is.
I've heard of McCrory, I've not heard of the other guy before, Derek.
No. And David Bates came in from Wraith as a full signing. 20-year-old defender who was on a development loan with us. There was also rumours that Mackay was going to Leipzig for £6 million, but that turned out to be shite.
Yes.
Yep. So, on that note, where the rumour started from, we'll get into the first game. Sunday the 15th of January, away to RB Leipzig in a friendly. This obviously encompassed the winter break. We weren't really expecting anything. We lost 4-0. Really men against boys. Result really didn't matter, but it highlighted basic issues again that, you know, we couldn't even do. Wilson's marking for a start. He was certainly at fault for at least 3 of the 4 goals. And Oliver Burke scored as well. Their £15 million rated striker. Looked a great atmosphere. Great banter had by all, by the sound of it as well. Wasn't really about the result. It was more about the fitness and the performance, but that never really happened either, did it?
No, it was very one-sided. As you say, I wasn't looking for much, but at the same time, it was a friendly. I thought we might have tried something a wee bit different, Derek,
yeah.
But it was just the same style of play, the same really bad defending. As you say, the marking was shocking. And, you know, Leipzig are a fantastic team. I mean, I still believe they're still sitting second in the Bundesliga just now. So, you know, a quality team. So, as you say, we weren't expecting too much about it, but just even a wee flash of something during the match would have been quite nice for us, but unfortunately, no.
A flash of performance or a flash of...
flash of brilliance for somebody. But no, it's no... It didn't come... But the fans all looked as if they enjoyed themselves anyway. It looked like a good day out and stuff. So we can't say much more than that.
Yes. Moving on now to the more important stuff. Saturday the 21st of January, it was a 2-1 win at home to Motherwell in the Scottish Cup 4th round. Loving Cup ceremony just before it as well, before the game kicked off. A lot of fans wondering why it was happening so late in January, but obviously that was the first home game. That's after right. The new year. And there was also a minute's silence as well for the sad passing of former player Johnny Little.
Yes.
I'm not going to run really too much through about the performances because, for one, I can't remember them. They've been that dull. Right. But there's a few things we'll pick out. Obviously, the games is we were pretty dire all game this game. We didn't create anything, and anything we did create was all off target. So really can't say much about it. Motherwell scored in the 74th minute, and we thought, well, we're heading out the cup. And then, as ever, Kenny Miller scored in the 84th minute, and then right at the death in the 89th minute as well. Fantastic. You know, just to get it right up them again, because that's the second time that's happened, scoring in the last minute winner against Motherwell this year. But again, it just papers over cracks, doesn't it?
But it was good to see that their manager took the defeat well, though, mate.
That's what I was just going to get onto. His interview was probably, after the game, was possibly the most shocking, unprofessional interview I've seen in my puff. You know, he says he just doesn't have words. He's not bothered about the players. You know, I couldn't give a monkey's about the players, is the words he said. It was embarrassing. And he said he couldn't speak for half an hour afterwards.
I mean, how are you feeling after that one?
I think I've said it in there, you know, I've had something like 950 games or something as a manager, and only twice before have I felt as badly as I feel now.
That's right, but it's good that he's managed to redeem himself in recent matches, like getting sent to the stand in their match against Aberdeen.
Exactly.
So,
well.
Sheer professionalism for yes. Scotland's number two, national team number two as well. Just shows you the state of Scottish football, really, doesn't it?
Yep. The draw for the game was done. Sorry, the draw for the next round was done after the game by a very pissed Rod Stewart. It was quite funny, but it was also showing Scottish football in a stupid light and a bad light as well.
It was pretty cringe worthy. I liked Amy McDonald put a wee thing on Twitter. Did you see that? Because she had been asked to do the next round draw. Unfortunately, she couldn't make it, and her words were, "And here was me going to go full Rod Stewart mode as well." I think she was actually quite gutted that she wasn't going to get to do it. So I thought that was quite a good wee tweet that she put out there.
Next game here, as we played Motherwell again, Saturday the 28th of January. It was a 2-0 win away at Motherwell there in the Premiership. I never got to see the game because I was flying high in the sky at that point, so I seen the result. I think it was when I landed, actually.
Yep.
Anyway, in the fifth minute, O'Halloran got a straight red card. Yes. It was, you know, a shocking challenge.
It was.
Clear straight red.
Yes.
Can't have any arguments. On the 27th minute as well, Scott McDonald got another clear red card, straight red card. Another clear foul. Aberdeen. Motherwell did appeal it really stupidly. They were raging about it, and they ended up getting a couple of game extension on that as well, another ban. So
I think his initial tackle, Derek, was a hard tackle, but right at the end you actually saw that he put his foot up to try and cause more damage. If he'd kept his foot down, he could have maybe got away with it. But it was stupid that he actually raised his foot up to try, well, certainly look as if he was just trying to cause damage to the player, which was just ridiculous. So no, it was definitely a red card. But I think that was kind of the turning point in the match, because to be fair, that's probably about the most dominant that we've been in a while in a match. When we got down to 10 aside, there was more space, and we certainly deserved the victory. And we actually played quite well after that. But as I say, that's been about the only high point, really. So, you know, sort of this part of the season in matches is about the only time that we've really dominated in a game, and it was when Motherwell were down to 10 men and we were all level. But I'll let you get into that.
Yeah. We did score on the 72nd minute. Who else? It was Kenny Miller, and Heinemann scored on the 87th minute to round out the game. So I was hearing the same thing from yourself as what you just said there, Dave. Is I was actually collecting my baggage when the final score came through. Uh-huh. So good deal round. Starting my holiday in a 2-0 win.
Exactly.
Right, here was the crunch one where I think it fully all went wrong.
Yep.
Wednesday the 1st of February, a 4-1 loss away to Hearts in the Premiership. Now, I had to persuade my wife, not that she needs much persuading, if I want to go and watch the football I can, but I dragged her to Taylor's Bar in Tenerife, bought her a couple of drinks, so she was quite happy, but having to watch that game in a pub when I could have been in another pub, you know, getting even more pissed. You know, it was diabolical. It was from start to finish, there was nothing about us at all.
It was a game that I was really quite hopeful. See, after the Motherwell game, Derek, I was actually quite hopeful. I thought that performance in the second half against Motherwell, hopefully will kick-start them and get them playing really well. And it was probably the most lacklustre performance of the season so far. It was just shocking. Defending was shocking. The midfield was completely non-existent. And I actually felt really sorry for Kenny Miller because he just wasn't getting anywhere near the ball. It was terrible. It really was.
I mean, you obviously seen from all my tweets, I think it was mainly me that was putting the tweets out that night, absolutely raging. And I did say that, you know, that's probably time for Warburton to go. Little did we know what was going to happen next.
Yes, exactly.
But I think that's when the whole fan base seems to turn against them there, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back. We thought it had been coming for a while, but that's the second time we've went away to Hearts and we've been absolutely diabolical. We've made an average team look brilliant, you know, and bearing in mind Hearts...
I wouldn't even go as far as saying average, mate. No. This is a team that you've got to remember. Ian Cathro brought in 9 players in the space of like 10 days.
Yeah.
And the vast majority of them were playing their first match against us. And it showed that you can bring in players from the continent for no money, put them in a team, and they absolutely ripped us to shreds. And it made our signing policy look absolutely amateurish. Yeah. It really did. You know me, mate, I have been really supportive for the manager, and I know that you, for the last sort of few weeks or the last few months, have been sort of really getting annoyed with the manager, and there's been a few guys in my work, and I've always sort of been very positive about him and said to myself, I can see what he's trying to do and his philosophy, but after the Hearts game, that was me as well. I thought there's something needs to change now. We need to do something drastic right now. But as you say, little did we know what was going to happen after that match.
Just in the Hearts game, it started off, you know, straight away, 4 minutes, Hearts score. We did level it up on the 36th minute, and we did actually, for about a 10-minute spell, we did actually seem to get a grip of the game, and it just all went to shit after half-time. Hearts scored in the 49th minute. They scored on the 54th minute and the 63rd minute. I don't think I really seen the second two goals because... I was too busy tweeting my rage at that point, and I looked up 1 minute and they had scored another. And I mean, one of them, you know, came from a blunder from Fotheringham, if I can mind right, as well.
Aye, it was the whole thing was just a big clusterfuck, to be honest with you, Derek. It was the defending was just shot. It was like Keystone Cops type stuff. It really was. Rob Kiernan looked absolutely dreadful. He couldn't mark. He couldn't do anything. It was just the whole team was just absolutely shocking. There was nobody trying to get forward. There was nobody could put their foot in the ball. I don't know how many times Andy Halliday gave the ball away when he got it. Andy Halliday must have passed the ball more to Hearts players than he did his own team in that game. It was so bad, and I sat and I watched it with my wee boy, and even he was like, he says, I'm just going to my bed now. You know, for a 10-year-old boy who's desperate to stay up as late as possible, when it got to like 20 minutes left, he gave up and went to his bed, and I couldn't blame him. It was just shocking, and I actually think Wes Fodringham has been really good for us this season. He's had a couple of blunders, but he looked really panicky, like big time. There was no confidence at all, no leadership on the park at all, and even when you looked at the manager, you could just tell that he'd given up as well.
Yeah.
It was just poor all round, as probably as bad as it gets this season. I would say even worse than the game at Parkhead.
Yeah, because at least with Celtic, you knew there was something there with them.
At least in the first half against Celtic, when we scored that one goal, we were still going for it. In the start of the second half, we were still going for it, trying to score. When Mackay had that shot, we still had a chance to get back into it. But the Hearts game, we showed nothing all game.
No.
Absolutely nothing.
I mean, there was a wee blessing for some fans as well. Some fans with genuine tickets were denied entry, as there was claims by stewards that the stand was full. Apparently there's been a few forgeries going around, and it's not the first time it's happened at Tynecastle as well. So there's certainly a wee bit of a ticketing or a security issue, and certainly in this day and age with high security and things like that, it's not the kind of thing you want to happen, especially when there's a lot of people packed into a tight place like that. So they better get that sorted quick. Next game, we thought we were going to get a reaction. I never seen this game because, again, I was coming back on the plane. Saturday the 4th of February, it was a 1-1 draw at home to Ross County in the Premiership. They scored on the 18th minute. I did manage to notice that goal just before my plane took off. And Wallace scored the equaliser in the 71st minute. Haven't bothered to watch that game back either because I just couldn't be bothered. There was also reports by The Sun, which apparently was a story lifted from Follow Follow, that a mob of Rangers fans were baiting Rob Kiernan, who was watching the game from the stand. Now, it turned out that it was only a few fans, but regardless if it was a few or a mob, you know, it's unacceptable to give in any sort of player abuse like that. When he's on the park playing shit, yeah, you give him abuse like that, but not when he's just watching the game, when he's not even playing, you know. But anyway, another disappointing result.
Yeah, it was dire again, Derek. Ross County must love playing against us now, because again they kind of controlled the match. We had a few more chances than we had created before, but nothing really. And Wallace really did sort of save our blushes at the end, but another poor performance. And I'm really quite surprised at how bad the performance was, considering it was at home as well. But it just couldn't be lifted at all, unfortunately.
No. Next game, Sunday the 12th of February, 2-1 win at home against Greenock Morton in the fifth round of the Scottish Cup. We thought, here we go again. Morton scored in the 7th minute. However, Miller equalised on the 13th, and then Wycorn scored the winner on the 61st minute. Better second half, but again, it was just one of these games. Poor defensive, not offering anything really up front, and anything we did offer, it was always wider. The keeper saved it comfortably.
Yeah, I was in the Bluebell bar in Tenerife watching it, mate, and listening to a lot of grumbles for the fans. And when Morton scored the opening goal, it wasn't like a surprise on anybody's face, which is the worrying thing. But luckily we managed to win that game. But even then, Morton had a fantastic chance right at the end of the game. He equalised, which they really should have scored, and they didn't. So I wasn't convinced either. But at the same time, after you've drank 5 or 6 pints, and you know you're quite happy. I was just quite happy sitting and having a laugh with all the guys that were in there
playing dominoes.
I told it was really quite busy, and I told Craig, the guy who kind of runs it behind the bar, that I would give him a wee shout out on the pod the next time. So I've known him for quite a few years, but pop him in and out of there. So yeah, another good day in the Bluebell. Just a pity that it wasn't a better performance. But as you say, we got the result and we're through to the next round.
Yep.
That's really the only positive that we can take out of it.
Yep. And that's been decided. That's Hamilton at home again, which again was all the conspiracy theories about being at home. So
yeah,
it's just a pain in the arse. It's costing me money every time. But next game was the last game we played. Was Sunday the 19th of February. 2-1 loss away to Dundee. Now, before the game even started, Rangers were at it again via their Twitter site, putting out travel advice for coming to the game at Ibrox, despite it being, you know, away up in Dundee. You know, that was after all the thing that just happened in the kind of website, which we'll get onto. But shambles. Anyway, again, a fucking abysmal performance. You know, Dundee scored the first two on the 13th and the 41st. Gardner scored on the 62nd, and actually quite a good goal as well. And thank God he's actually scored for a change. But again, we offered really nothing after that. A couple of chances. There was one chance Ricky Forrester there, but that's wrong.
Harry Forrester,
even, yes.
Who the fuck is Ricky Forrester?
I don't know. Yes, Harry Forrester, he had a chance. It was probably easier to hit the target, but he ballooned it. And then Graham Murty, or I'll get to that in a minute, our stand-in coach, done a really embarrassing backwards roll, and he's tried to laugh it off in the press over the last couple of days. But, you know, that's not what a Rangers manager does.
What was he trying to do, Derek?
I've no idea.
I still don't know what it was that he was trying to do, or what he was trying to prove. I still don't know. Why on earth would you do that at the side of the pitch?
It's certainly not Rangers class, put it that way. You know, but there is a thing that we demand from our managers, and that's to wear a suit, shirt and tie, you know, at the touchline. You know, if you want to wear trackies as a, because you're only caretaker boss now, fair enough, but you act the part when you're managing Rangers. You didn't act like that. Anyway, that was the least of our worries, as he's kind of alluded to in the press conference. Really, the table has left us in third place. Played 25, won 12, drew 7, lost 6, scored 33, conceded 28, goal difference plus 5, points 43, 6 behind Aberdeen, who are in second, 30 behind Celtic, who are obviously top, 5 ahead of Hearts, who are in fourth, and I can't believe we're having to go this far down the table, 6 ahead of St Johnstone, who are in fifth place. regardless of what you think in terms of we should have been winning the league, our expectations this year, from last year, were based on that semi-final against Celtic. Celtic, as much as they're not as, I don't think they're as good as everybody the press make out, they're certainly having a blinder a season by not losing any games so far, and they're a winning team that way. But our expectations were based on that semi-final from last year, which was incredibly wrong considering they've done the business and they've vastly improved. We've receded.
If you look at what's happened from the semi-final, Derek, that was the last time that we really dominated a match big time, was that game. Ever since that game, we started playing very poorly, culminating, you know, in the matches, including the cup final, start of the season. We've never played well this season at all, I don't think. I can't remember. I mean, that's
Kilmarnock, maybe.
Aye, we touched on that in the last pod. That's the only time we've scored 3 goals this season.
Yep.
You've got to look, and it annoys me because I'm hearing a lot of people saying, "Oh well, it's the first time that we're back in the Premier League since all the problems, and we shouldn't have expectations." Of course we should.
Yeah.
We're paying a huge amount of money on wages, more than anybody else apart from Celtic.
Yeah.
We went out and signed bloody Joey Barton, and I dread to think how much you got signing on fee and stuff like that. We paid a lot of money for Cranchar. We paid too much money on bloody Joey Garner. Didn't get me started on Joey Garner. I don't give a fuck that he scored at the weekend. The man missed at least 2 bloody chances for 6 yards,
yep,
as well in that last match. But I spent a lot of money on him, and I know it's not his fault that that's the amount of money that we spent on him, but we could have used that £1.8 million and brought in 3 players that are playing in the Premier League in Scotland that could have done a hell of a lot more.
Absolutely.
Poor buys. As I say, we got stitched up with Joey Barton. That was a huge, epic fail on the manager's part. Cranchard might have been a quality player if he hadn't got injured, and you'll get back into him because apparently he's back in training, which is good. We got the England under-19 captain, which was a fantastic signing at the time and looked the part in the couple of games he's played. He's been injured constantly. The signings that we've brought in have been absolutely, you know, have done us no favours at all. And if the money had been spent more wisely, I'm positive that we would have been clear in setting place, because we would have won 4 or 5 more matches than we have anyway.
Exactly.
But it's been very poor. The 2 loan signings he's brought in, Hyndman has shown a couple of flashes of being a good player. Torral's done nothing for me. And I know he's only played with 2 games or something like that, but he's not shown anything in the 2 games. Hopefully he'll prove me wrong. It's been a disaster of a season, and did you put that down to the manager, or did you, as Mark Warburton, for not being able to get you know, the defence sorted? Because the defence getting, you know, but at the same time we spoke about it, we've not been scoring goals either.
No, it's a mixture of things. I mean, as I said, we shouldn't have been basing our expectations on that semi-final. Celtic were always going to be a tough beat to, and it was always going to be a tough challenge to win the league this year. But we certainly shouldn't be at this stage of the season looking at being third, being fairly significantly third, and then we're maybe looking, you know, we're actually closer to fourth place than we are to second place right now. We shouldn't be even having, I shouldn't even have to say, you know, how many points we're behind fifth place right now. Because as you said, we should be comfortably in second.
Definitely. That's why something needs to happen now, Derek, because we've still got to, in our own hands, we've still got to play Aberdeen twice, we've still got to play Hearts another once as well. So it's still in our hands, but we need something to happen now, and I'm afraid the caretaker manager is basically just playing the same way that the manager did. He's using the same players, doing the same formation. There's nothing changed there for me, and that's why I'm all for, if it means us getting second place this season, bringing in somebody at the end of the season, somebody that's going to change everything completely, get the defence sorted out and start us, get scoring goals, I would be all for that. There's a lot of people, you know, on social media saying, no, we need to get it right. I know we need to get it right, but we need to get second place this year. If we don't get second place, that's a complete and utter disaster for us. It really is.
Just to, before we go into the Warburton section, that's now the Warburton section. Just the games we've got coming up is Friday the 24th of February, which is tomorrow, away to Inverness. It's on TV and it's a 7:45 kickoff. obviously with the weather, there's still potential doubts that the game's going to go ahead, but we'll just need to wait and see.
Yep.
Next game is Wednesday night. It's Wednesday the 1st of March at home to St Johnstone. It's a 19:45 kickoff as well. Next game, Saturday the 4th of March at home to Hamilton, and that's in the Scottish Cup quarter-final, again on TV, and it's a 12:30 kick-off. And the next game after that is obviously, well, used to be the big one, but it's going to be a dodgy one now. Sunday the 12th of March, away to Celtic, which I believe is an early kick-off as well.
Which I'm not looking forward to.
No, I mean, looking at our fixtures, just on a side note here, how many Saturday afternoon games have we had at 3 o'clock? It's a joke.
Hardly any.
Anyway, the whole kind of Warburton section, it's been done to death. I'm just going to kind of briefly go over it. Kind of certainly over the last few weeks of his kind of tenure at Rangers, his comments were becoming more and more baffling. You know, he said he was not concerned with the lack of away wins, blamed our woes on random nature of football and mathematics. I mean, who comes out with that kind of shite?
Well,
you know, and then he had taken a press conference on the Friday afternoon, you know, rubbish claims that he was away, rubbish claims that the scout, Frank McPartlin, was away as well. And on Friday night, posted at 9 p.m. on the Rangers website, a statement came out and said that basically they had all resigned, and it basically left them in a bad light as well. Questionable grammar, so certainly, you know, whoever's wrote the statement, we all kind of thought, well, has it been hacked? What's the deal here? But it turned out to be a true statement. However, within 10 minutes of that statement going live, the Rangers website crashed, obviously people trying to get on it, and Chris McLaughlin, of all people, claimed that Warburton states that he hasn't resigned. So we've actually been pretty decent this year with no leaks to the press, and you know, it's obviously weirdly that Chris McLaughlin, of all people, who is had his credentials revoked from Ibrox, you know, he's in contact with the manager.
Yeah.
I found that very strange.
Yes.
So basically Heart and Hand did put a tweet out that same night, you know, and it was, you know, kind of said by Derek Johnson on Sky Sports as well, kind of outlined events that looked to have happened where the three of them have asked their agent, including Davy Weir obviously, have asked their agent to go to the chairman or the you know, Stuart Robertson, and say they all want to resign. They don't want the club to look for any compensation. So there was a board meeting on the Wednesday. It was agreed that on the Wednesday that they would all resign. Rangers wouldn't look for any compensation off any club that was coming to get them. And then on the Thursday, they tried to change the deal and saying they don't want to resign. And obviously Rangers said, no, you want away, so fuck off. That was the long and short of it.
Is that what you believe happened, Derek?
I fully believe that's what happened, because Warburton still, in the very rare, you know, comments that have been made in the press through the LMA, by the way, which don't have any jurisdiction up here, which is very strange. Mm-hmm. You know, they've kind of maintained that they haven't resigned. Well, why would Rangers get that information? You know, the Rangers are being very astute these days with their court cases and how they're handling any potential court cases that might come up. And if it was and I did say this on Twitter, it wouldn't be the first time an agent has been has shafted a client to try and get themselves better money. If that was a rogue agent, then I'm pretty sure that the three of them would have came out already and said, no, that agent didn't work for us and not on behalf of us.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, potentially they've not done that because of any legal ramifications, but certainly you would think that that shouldn't make any difference if they came out in the media and said that. So I fully believe that's what's happened.
Well, if that is the case, Derek, if that's coming out, that's the truth, then the board have acted correctly, in my opinion.
Yeah.
As you say, it sounds as if they had something set up, and then at the last minute, it's all failed, and they've thought to themselves, shit, you know, we'll just go back and say that wasn't the case, and we never resigned in the first place, and all that, which you can't really do. Mm-hmm. So if that is the case, and I'm sure it will all come out in the wash eventually, then the board did the right thing. I don't think the vast majority of the Rangers fans, there wasn't an outcry about the manager going, Derek, which was, you know, strange in the, you know, for a normal football club, you know, for a manager, if the manager was to go, there would be an outcry as the fans saying, oh, well, he doesn't want to resign, so he shouldn't be allowed to. But I think the vast majority of us were quite happy that he was going, just because of the way the team was playing. So what happens now, that's the main thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, just the kind of background as well, Dave King on the Saturday, and I was reading it when I was in the pub, so it was kind of half and half of actually paying attention to it or not, but I've since read it again. King came out with a lengthy and quite an unusual statement, but a pretty good one, I thought, you know, basically claiming that Warburton leaked details of the kind of what happened to, obviously, the said journalist we did say about. Not happy with the performances overall. 18 of the £30 million spent, you know, that they said they was going to put in. They've overspent in wages, not happy that high earners were never getting games, which I'm guessing all of a sudden Senderos started to get games when he was never getting games after this and all that kind of thing. With Joe Dodoo sitting on the bench. And basically the final straw was that him wanting to go to another club, and that looks as if it has been Nottingham Forest, and obviously the door was, as you said, the door looks as if it's been shut on that one. In terms of, you know, going forward, obviously a lot's been said about, are we getting an interim manager in now, or are we getting waiting until the summer, are we getting a full-time manager in now? Certainly we're talking about getting a director of football in. I know this guy who's at Sunderland.
There's been quite a few, Derek. There was the guy who, from
Southampton.
I believe his name is Ross Wilson, certainly got all the credentials, but there's quite a few guys out there that they could go to that have all, you know, have, you know, the history and of doing fantastic work at some of the clubs and bringing in a lot of money. But I think what they were maybe looking at with this guy for Southampton is the amount of money that he's actually made for the clubs with players getting sold on and things like that. So definitely, if that's what's happening, Derek, if they're going down the director of football, I think it's a great idea. Yeah. I think it could completely revolutionise the team. It lets us be able to go out and get a manager. If the manager isn't pulling his weight, the director of football will make the decision to bring another manager in. The onus for the whole of the running of the club isn't all going to be on the manager. The manager will then be a first team coach, and he's basically just there for the football side of things. So we just have to get it right. We just have to make sure, if that is the case, that they've got the right man with a vision that's going to be there for a while, that's really going to get results. But it's hard going, Derek, because we try to be realists, but this is Rangers, and and we do look for kind of immediate success.
Yeah.
And we all speak and we all say, we need to be patient and all of that, and we are patient to a certain extent, but we are looking for somebody to hit the ground running.
Yeah. I mean, I'm quite happy with this director of football issue. It's, you know, certainly it's what, you know, all the major teams in the continent do. Mm-hmm. It seems to work. And it means that a philosophy stays with the club. It doesn't go with when the manager and the background staff go, which is the good thing, because obviously that's us now lost our, you know, number two and our scout in this thing as well, because that's part of the management team. And we don't know now, if a new manager came in, you know, is he going to change all of that, all the management staff that come in and out? Is he then going to change all the background work in terms of all the, you know, set up for the youth team and all that kind of thing? Because that's one of the things that Warburton seems to have got right, and focus on the analytics and focus on hard training that in that respect. And
no, I mean, I will always, he has came in, Derek, when the team was at its worst and completely changed and got them training really well and, you know, completely changed the philosophy of the playing in the club. And it was great when it came in. When we first heard it, we thought, this is fantastic. So he has left the club in a hell of a lot better position than, you know, when he took it over. I've got no doubt about that. I think it's just more the playing staff side of things now that we really need to get right. But I think when it comes to their fitness levels and their training and stuff like that, I think a new coach coming in would be quite happy about what has went on that way.
Apart from doing things like not training, doing defensive drills and things like that.
Exactly. It's one of the main things that they really need to get working on. But it has changed the philosophy of the club. And it, as I say, it was the whole idea was great. It's just not worked out that way.
No.
But hopefully another coach can come in and get them playing, you know, a hell of a lot better. It couldn't get much worse, surely.
Well, you had a list of potential managers to come in, didn't
you? Well, do you want me to have a wee look at that? These were just latest odds on managers, but I don't know what you feel about any of them. I've been looking at social media, as I do, and everyone is to and for everyone. But obviously, the caretaker manager at the moment, Graham Murty, is in there. Alec McLeish is in there, and we all know Alec McLeish. We all know what he's done. He's the last manager to get us the treble. He got us into the next round of the Champions League. Also, when he left, though, Derek, our team was absolutely shocking. But again, money restraints and stuff like that, maybe it wasn't entirely his fault that that was the type of players that he had to get in at that point that didn't work out. So I think what McLeish would do in the first instance is he would get the defence sorted out, I think, because that's what he did when he came in initially, if you remember.
Yeah.
When he first came into Rangers, he went out, he got Boomsong, he got Big Marvin Andrews, he got players like that into the team straight away to sort of defence it, and he did. It was an instant hit at the back, and then when Boomsong went away, he was able to bring another centre-half. That's what we're needing. And one of the managers that's actually came in and he's shot up to third favourite at the moment, and it's somebody that's not been mentioned, is Dougie Friedman. You remember him?
No.
Now, he has been the manager of quite a few clubs. I'm sure he was the Crystal Palace manager in the Championship. Nottingham Forest, I believe, he was at one point as well. Rangers fanatic, that's the one thing I will say. I've heard them talking when he was getting interviewed a few years ago. He's a big Rangers man. I don't know who he was last with, because I've not had the internet, Derek. I've not been able to check that. That's my excuse for being a lazy bastard, by the way. I've not had the internet, so I don't know who he was last at, Friedman, but he's there. He's unattached. Is that what you're looking up at the moment?
I'm just looking that up now, eh?
Fantastic. So what clubs has he been the manager of?
Palace, Bolton and Forest.
Right, okay. And when was he last at a club?
2015-2016
season. Right. So it's only been a season out that he's been. He wasn't at Forest for long though, but at the same time, I know I keep name dropping here all the time, but when I was down at Forest as a guest of the manager at that point, Billy Davis, I know a lot of the trouble that, or the problems that the coaches and the staff had. So maybe Friedman was just a product of him getting the bullet, was just like everyone else. Alec McLeish went through the same thing at Forest as well. So another one. The next one, a bit of a strange one, Derek. Alan Pardew.
Yeah. He's a name, but that's it for me.
He's a name. He had a disastrous spell at Newcastle. He went to Crystal Palace, had a fantastic initial season with Crystal Palace, had them beating everybody, and then a disaster again after that. He's not the guy that I would be happy with. Another manager here now, this is all we hear at the moment, is about this guy, and he wouldn't be my choice, to be honest with you, and that's Derek McInnes. And the reason that, and all we keep hearing is, oh well, he's managed to get Aberdeen second place for three seasons in a row, he knows the Scottish game in and out. I don't think he's the right man for us. That's a personal opinion. I don't think he's... I mean, he won the League Cup or something like that a couple of seasons ago, but he still doesn't have that winning mentality that you need for a manager, especially of Rangers. He's done a great job with Aberdeen, but at the same time, who have Aberdeen had to challenge them for second place over the last few seasons?
I think he bottled it last year as well.
Same with Celtic, who have they had to challenge them for the champion to be the champions for the last few years? Nobody.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's been, because he's not even had Hearts in there, because Hearts got relegated as well. He's had nobody. So, you know, I think I don't think he's the right man. The next one that came out of nowhere is Alan Irvine. Another, he had a disastrous spell at West Brom, I think, the last time that I heard of him. He's in at 16-1. Then we started getting into the guys. Billy Davis, you know that I've met him on several occasions now. I know how passionate he is. I know he's got a bit of I'll use my words carefully here, colourful past. We'll not go into that. I know the times I've spoke to him, he was absolutely fantastic with me, Derek. He really was. Totally down to earth, really passionate about his team, and a real motivator, and somebody that doesn't stand any shit at all. You know, I think he's the type of guy that, and I think that's what we're needing, is somebody going to put a rocket up everybody's arse.
No, definitely.
Chris Boyd actually came out and said last week that he can think of no one better at the moment to come into Rangers, because he knows when he went down to Notts Forest, he went down there on loan. and Billy Davis wasn't going to take him in his team because he basically turned around and called him a fat bastard and ordered him to get into training. And I think the way that Chris Boyd says, he really was sort of checking up on him every day, and if he didn't see a difference in him at a certain point, he was getting punted, he says, and he made that quite clear. I think that's the type of guy that we need at the moment, whether they do or not. Then after that, I think it's the big one. I think this is the one that everybody, I don't know, I've not actually spoke to you about it right enough, but everybody that I've spoke to that's a Rangers fan are hoping and praying that Frank de Boer's a man. I don't know what you think about that. He's certainly the guy with the credentials. I think he's the guy who would have all the links. You know, Dutch football, he's known throughout the world, very respected in the football terms. I think he would attract players to come to a club that he's at. I think he would have the contacts in Holland as well for guys who maybe aren't, you know, didn't make it as superstars, but possibly could maybe still, you know, have the, you know, could still do a job, or, you know, really well. That's certainly the guy that I would love to have in charge for next season.
Yeah. If we're doing it, we need to push the boat out, and that's the problem. Do we have the funds to do that? Because, you know, he's already came out and said that, you know, money's not the issue. He wants to be challenged now. Obviously, with Ranieri now getting sacked tonight, you know, there's his, you know, his foot in the door at Leicester if he wanted to. He says he wants to manage in England. So, you know, it's one of these things. He's certainly, you know, he knows the club in terms of he's played for them. Yep. His brother's played for them. Yep. I'm pretty sure his brother would come along for the ride as well if that was the case. And his fucking daughter's beautiful as well. So
I knew you would bring that up.
Aye,
but are you the same opinion of me? Is he your ultimate first choice if you could get anyone at the moment to come in? Would it be him?
I would say the managers that are available, absolutely.
Right.
I'm still praying that we manage to tempt Alex Ferguson out of retirement.
Aye, somehow I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either.
Aye, he's certainly the man there that I would love to see in charge of us, but in the meantime, do you want a manager to come in, even if it was to the end of the season?
Actually, no. Well, yes and no, to be honest. It's a double-edged sword, I think, because you want to get the manager in to bed him in, but you don't want to rush your choice. And I know there's a lot of fans out there that are wanting, you know, a manager in place right now, but we can't rush this. We can't afford to fuck this one up. So if the likes of Frank de Boer saying he doesn't want to come until April, and that's who we've chosen, and that's who we know we're going to get, and if as long as we lock him up in a contract, then I would say no.
The thing that's worrying me, Derek, is if we don't change something now, we're not going to get second place.
I think
we'll be lucky to get third place, to be honest with you, if we don't change things right now, because the players don't have any confidence.
No.
There's nothing seems to have changed whatsoever. No offence to the guy. I know he's trying his best and he's been put in an awkward position. I do not think he's the man right now, and I think we need to make a change as soon as possible. And I would take anybody at this point in time. If I thought they were going to come in and sort the team out right away, or at least sort the defence out right away and make it a hell of a lot more difficult for us to be beaten,
yeah,
I would say do it now.
But I fully agree with that, but at the same point, you're running the risk of, you're just saying, get anyone in now. We need to have the right man in place. I would quite happily go for somebody like McLeish right now if it was guaranteed it was only till the end of the season.
Right.
I would prefer we get the right man in who's going to be there longer term,
though. Question for you. McLeish comes in and we go on a run of winning 18 games in a row, including beating Celtic at Parkhead, winning up at Pittodrie and going on and winning the Scottish Cup under his management. What would you say then?
Again, that's the risky run, though.
Do you know what I mean? It's that I really believe right now that we need to make a change as soon as possible. And I don't mean just anyone, but anyone at this moment in time, I think, would make a difference to the team. And anyone with a bit of experience,
yeah,
in Scottish football would make a difference to the team right now?
I just think it's the players more than anything now, because normally when there's a change in management, whether it be a caretaker or not, you see a reaction from the players, but they've actually even receded worse.
But they're playing the same way though. Right. They're playing the same way, they're playing the same tactics, they're playing, everything's the same. So you're not going to get a reaction out of them because yeah. They're playing the same way. He changed the formation about very slightly, but they were still playing exactly the same way. There was all this, you know, playing it out for the back, and the defender marking was just shocking, and basically trying to pass the ball into the net. I actually think that the only reason that Joe Gardner scored that goal was because he was so fucking pissed off that, you know, there was nothing happening outside the box that he thought, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to have a shot here, and it went in. It's no changing, and it needs to change right now, or there's no way we're going to get second place.
No. Well, it's certainly, you know, something that we'll get onto in the next wee section here. We'll move on now, and we'll go to the Blue Room.
I'm sure you've already heard that the result was 85%.
So yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
So, I mean, absolutely.
I love you.
How about your means?
Right, we've got a few bits and pieces to cover in the Blue Room. It's kind of some personal opinion, some actual facts here. We'll get through the kind of factual bit here. BDO have launched a £28.9 million lawsuit against former administrators Paul Clark and David Whitehouse as to their handling of the administration. You know, they think that they didn't cut costs well enough.
We all said it at the time, though, Derek. We all said that the whole administration and the administrators, everything that happened, that was something no right there. And we know, you know, certainly the dealings with Craig White weren't right. We know that, but the...
Allegedly.
But the administrators who came in, there were so many questions asked about, you know, why it was costing so much, you know, for their services, and why it was them that was chosen without there being other people being involved. And we all asked these questions at the time and never got any answers, and it shows you how long it takes before anybody's held, there's any questions asked and anybody's held accountable for anything. It takes a long, long time. Hopefully we'll find out some answers soon. I'm not holding my breath.
No, I mean, certainly the administrators have came out and says, so well, what they're basically now saying is that BDO said that we should have sold club assets like the players and Ibrox and things like that. Well, that's not what they're saying. So, you know, we'll kind of not want to speak about it too much, because obviously it's an upcoming court case. So, speaking of court cases, the tax case at the Supreme Court is getting held next month. I believe it's over.
I saw that today, actually. Yep,
I believe it's over 2 days. Weirdly, and this is something that we weren't told at the time, this decision can still be appealed at the European courts now. So this was meant to be the last one we got told the last time. So
I'll give you two guesses which newspaper had that as their main headlines in the front page of their newspaper.
Oh, does it begin with a D and an R?
It certainly does. Yeah, surprise, surprise. No, I don't think any of the other papers had that as their main headlines in the front, but they certainly did. Absolutely incredible.
One, I'm going to play a wee bit of devil's advocate here, and I'm certainly not agreeing with what they've done. But when you look at the way it's been done, we were put into administration by Craig White, and then eventually the company was liquidated, or it's going through liquidation now. And it was effectively then bought over by Charles Green, and a CVA was tried to happen, and you know it never got accepted by HMRC. The way of the change of companies has protected the actual Rangers company from any potential debts that this ruling could bring, because if it stayed the same company as it were the way I'm reading it is we'd be liable for that,
right?
But thereafter Rangers old co, not Rangers new co, the company.
But again, you're finding them guilty before Derek, this is still ought to be,
well, that's why I said any potential debts.
Aye, exactly. Aye. So but again, we're getting into all of this that, you know, we're guilty before trial here.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens. And as you say, I wasn't aware either that this could still be appealed again. So basically this ruling isn't going to mean jack shit, because whatever happens, the other person's probably going to appeal it again.
It depends though, because of costs involved. I mean, if this ends up being a loss for HMRC, I mean, how many times have they applied to appeal? That'll be the third time,
yep.
I believe. Mm-hmm. Is it in the best interests of the taxpayer to do that? I mean, they're getting hammered, and they have been for the last couple of years, over high-profile tax cases they've spent a lot of money on. You know, Harry Redknapp's, you know, a case in point where they've ended up losing.
Yep.
So that's the decision that will need to be taken by either side if they, you know, depending on the outcome, obviously. Again, my feeling of the whole thing is 15 years ago, you could smoke in pubs. That's like me or you now getting charged for smoking in a pub 15 years ago.
Aye, yep.
It's the exact same thing. Close the loophole, absolutely. That's what they've done with this whole smoking thing. But subsequently go after a charge, go after somebody, you know, that have committed an alleged crime, as it were. I wouldn't say it's even a crime. It was a loophole that should have, you know, been closed. You know, I don't understand how they can do that. But, you know, I'm not a legal mind, unlike some fans out there that would claim they are. So.
You know, vast 99% of followers of Green and White mob are certainly, they're all, you know, they are tax experts.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's quite incredible. Yeah.
Next, we'll get off this kind of thing here. Next thing in the paper a couple of days ago, Derek Lumbias, that wee weasel, came out and asked, you know, King, where's the money?
Hilarious.
Show me the money.
Hilarious.
Oh, he's got a fucking cheek. Aye,
exactly. Absolutely hilarious.
Another, again, probably put in front of the media by his, you know, his henchman, whatever his name is. No, his henchman, he's...
boss.
By his boss, yes, that's it.
Have you heard any other rumblings about going on to that, the whole retail deal, Derek? It's went very, very quiet. I've not heard anything. There's been no murmurings at all, even on social media, about how that's going as well, because I'm sure Dave King said that, you know, he was hopeful that there was going to be an outcome within a few months, and that was a few months ago that he did say that. Have you heard anything at all?
Absolutely none. And this is where it's going to come on to my next point about questioning the board. Now, I don't normally try and name mentalists and people like that on our podcast, but I've got to give a shout out to a supposed Rangers fan who's now blocked both my personal account and our iReady Twitter account. Is King Billy II, used to go by the name of Philomena. He's went by several other names as well. This guy is an absolute fruit loop, you know. He's coming away with things, you know, it's all about Dave King. The whole board thing's all about Dave King. The guy doesn't understand, and this goes for some Rangers fans out there as well. They don't seem to understand about corporate governance and what the amount of shares he's actually got. Dave King has got 14% of the club. He owns 14% of Rangers. He is the chairman as well. That doesn't make him the sole owner and the sole decision maker of Rangers, like a lot of fans seem to think. Mm-hmm. You know, it really baffles me. You know, this Philomena guy seems to think, you know, that Dave King is the be all and end all, and the board, nothing's going to change at Ibrox until Dave King's out the window. Well, I don't understand where that's coming from. My issue is, question the board, because the whole, you know, their manifesto was all about transparency when they came in, and we've heard relatively nothing like the retail deal.
Yep.
And I know they're constricted by what they can and can't say regards to that, but at the same time, they should be coming out with a wee bit more and keeping.
The reason that I was asking you, Derek, is because he did say it. Dave King did say a few months ago that he was hoping that we would hear something. The fact that we've not heard anything whatsoever, I think it's a bit strange. I don't know if, you know, the old saying, no news is good news. I'm certainly hoping that that's the case. But, you know, I've certainly not heard anything, and I'm quite surprised at that, because usually social media is fully even bullshit stories. The vast majority is bullshit stories. But I've not heard anything, and, you know, you like me haven't heard anything either, which I think is quite strange. But
again, that gets onto my point about the board being very silent on stuff. I mean, what I meant to mention in the last part is the way the whole Warburton, you know, resignation has been handled has been absolutely shocking. The way, you know, it's kind of came out in a statement at 9 o'clock. Why do we continue
cloak and dagger stuff?
if he's resigned, you know, say it. You know, say that on the Monday or something like that when he actually did resign, or after the board meeting. Don't leave it to 9 o'clock on a Friday night. You know, but you know, a day and a half before we're due to play. You know, so there is something going on there, and absolutely question the board, because you know that's what they're there for. They should be held accountable for their actions, or in this case, potentially their lack of actions. But for people to come out and say, sack the board, oh, they're all this shit, you know, this, that, and the other, it's all Dave King's fault, he's a crook, blah, blah, blah. All you're doing is sounding like one of that lot for over the east side, you know. And it's exactly what all the papers want you to think with the way they're writing their stories about us. I mean, what was the alternative to this board we've got now?
Mike Ashley.
Exactly. And when he's, you know, putting deals in place, which I've got to say must be questionable, and I can't believe it's still being allowed to go through, which I'm guessing is what the board are fighting on, mm-hmm. You know, he's all in it for himself.
Yep.
Newcastle's a case in point. Yeah, he's put money in here and there, but he can subsidise, you know, any money by TV deals,
Derek,
that way.
He's put a lot of money into Newcastle, but you've got to remember, Newcastle got a massive parachute payment from going from the Premier League into the Championship. They got rid of the vast majority of their big earners as well. So has he put a lot of money into Newcastle, or has he just used the money that was handed over to them?
Exactly.
He's spent a lot of money on the manager. I'll give him that. I mean, there's no way that Benitez will be, you know, cheap. He'll be very, very well paid for that league. And he has spent a lot of money, but again, they were given a massive amount of money when they got relegated, as every club does, and it looks as if they're going to get back up as well, so they'll receive a huge amount of money for getting back up as well. So you've got to question, has he, you know, ploughed the money in like everybody's saying he has?
Well, yeah.
Maybe he's no, really.
I don't think he has, because, you know, you look at what's happened, they shouldn't have even, that's twice they've been relegated under his tenure. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, they wouldn't get relegated because the money is awash in the whole Premiership.
Right.
Shouldn't they get relegated in that league for a club the size of Newcastle, anyway? Yes. Anyway, that's enough of talking about
that. We're talking about another club here.
Aye, I know. Fuck's sake. Next part is Club 1872. They've been a bit, you know, absent in the latest kind of last few months. Certainly, you would have thought that given the whole upheaval with the management, there would have been, you know, issues. You know, there would have been certain questions asked, and you know, there would have been statements and things like that. They did put a statement out a couple of days ago, but it really told you nothing. It was really a statement about having a meeting to arrange a meeting.
Right.
That's all it was. And I've seen some. I mean, obviously, some people are, you know, against it straight away because it's, you know, former RST, you know, that kind of thing. I just see it for what it is and always have done, and we want it, both Dave and I want it to work, but the way it's gone so far is, you know, I can't see anything of any benefit so far. I mean, they put one share issue in there, it's all been cloak and daggers. I don't know if the members have really heard anything, and it's all this kind of shielded, well, members get to hear about things but other people don't. I did make a comment on Twitter the other day about it, and a member said that, you know, it was about the statement of a meeting about a meeting. He says he didn't know anything about what went on. Mm-hmm. Even members were asking questions about that. Was a bit stupid of a statement then. It's something that they should be trying to galvanise and should be trying to get more members in, but they seem to be pushing more members away just now.
Yeah. Aye, it's as you say, they're not coming out. You had put in quite a few valid points and kind of got met with a bit of hostility, and I don't think they were really happy with questions getting asked and stuff. And it was you know, viable points that you were asking. But as you say, if there's other members that don't know what's going on as well, it's quite baffling.
And we said it all along, is there going to be a separation between the board and the fans group? And this is why I liked Rangers First, because it was a separate fan group. It was the ideas were laid out. And I'm not saying that ideas are not laid out with Club 1872. It's just, it seems to be a wee bit too cosy with the board. That is my issue, and I think that's a lot of people's issue now. I may be wrong, but again, that's the clarity that kind of needs to be had there, and there needs to be a separation, a clear separation between it. So,
is this you paving the way for one of them to come on as a guest, Derek?
Well, if they want to, you know, get in contact. I mean, that's certainly, you know, what we're here for. We're two Rangers fans giving our opinion. We want to support, you know, things that are going to benefit the club. So, you know, certainly if somebody wants to get in contact, you know, by all means, we'll get you on the next pod. It might be 3 months down the line, but we'll get you on eventually. So, so that kind of wraps it up for the board there.
Okay.
It's now time for the news.
From ITN, the ITV News at 10 with Trevor McDonald.
Right, we've got to kind of start off with, you know, unfortunately quite a bit of sad news, obviously. First thing is, very sadly, we did mention Thomas Buffel and his brand of gin to celebrate his wedding that happened not long ago. Sadly, his wife actually died of cancer, aged 39, so absolutely shocking news that. Certainly the club put out their condolences as well. So.
He was a really good player for us as well, Derek. A lot of fond memories of him playing, so a really, really sad news for him. He's still quite a young guy as well, so yeah. For that to happen, it's pretty heartbreaking for him.
Next one here is Rangers Hall of Famer Billy Simpson, died age 87, played between 1950 and 1959, and he scored 163 goals, yep. which was pretty good.
Yes.
Another Hall of Famer died, unfortunately, Johnny Little, aged 86, we did allude that to the in the games there for the minute silence, joined in 1951, 327 appearances, and he only scored one goal. That was obviously his position there.
Yes.
And just recently there, former player Roger Hind died. Made 48 appearances over 6 seasons, scoring 5 goals, and he played in the 1967 Cup Winners' Cup final against Bayern Munich.
Okay.
So certainly sad news all round there. It's not been a good start there. Next piece of news here is the first round for the qualifying for the Europa League is on June the 29th, so I don't think that's too far after the season finishes, is it?
No, it certainly can't be, no.
The one thing you were kind of talking about is we must finish second. Well, if we finish third, we still get into the qualifiers for the Europa League as well, and we start at the exact same stage of the qualifiers as the second place team, so it makes no odds that way. It's more, we need second place for one, the money that it brings in,
yes.
I think it's an extra couple of hundred grand, and two, obviously, you know, we're Rangers, we should at least be finishing second, if not top. Next one here, we did mention part of this on the last pod. Rob Kiernan escapes a ban after appealing his alleged punch of the St Johnstone attacker.
Damn.
I think that was most people's opinion there. He was initially offered a 2-game ban. We appealed basically along the lines of, well, no punch can actually be seen in video evidence, which it wasn't, despite many Celtic fans, including Chris Sutton, claiming there was absolute proof of it.
Chris is the biased against us. You can't be saying things like that.
Unbelievable. I mean, Chris Sutton has really upped the ante since our last podcast about the utter biased bullshit he talks with us. I mean,
I have to say, though, Robbie Savage.
Oh, man.
Robbie Savage is now my new hero because of that. Because of absolutely brilliant, and he was gaining it wildly, and he was really, really getting torn in about him, which was hilarious.
If Robbie Savage, of all people, can rip the shit out of you, what does that say? But do you know,
brilliant.
There's the thing about, you know, this is the thing. Chris Sutton, you know, came on the Twitter as usual, talking about 55. Rangers will not get 55 titles, but we'll get to get 55 points at this. And I thought quite a wee witty tweet back to him.
Aye, and saying, then you got slated.
Aye. And, you know, it was a case of, there was more Celtic fans, you know, more than anyone replying to that. And one guy said, oh, that's ironic, Rangers fan talking about bankruptcy and all that kind of thing. Got like something like 100 odd likes. And aye. I was like, what the fuck? That wasn't even witty at all what he said, you know. Just fucking obsessed, a lot of them.
You were actually referred to as a raging hun at one point, mate.
I was, yeah. Well, I'm quite happy about that being a scummy wee bastard, you know. Call me something I'm not, you know.
Aye, obviously somebody that doesn't know you there, mate.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Too much talking about other fans. Anyway. Next thing here is Jim Hanna has left his role of the supporters liaison manager.
Liaison.
Liaison. yes, Jim Hanna left his role as supporter liaison manager after 30 years. He's done various roles throughout his time there, so I wish him happy retirement if that's what he chooses to go and do or chooses to do something else.
Yes.
I do believe his job is actually up for grabs just now as well, if you want to apply on.
Go for it, Derek.
Yes. More former Rangers players here. As former defender Davy Robertson is away to India to manage second division side Real Kashmir.
Right.
Which is in an area which is in conflict between India and Pakistan.
Really?
So he's previously managed Elgin City and Montrose, so wish him luck there.
Is that nowhere our fated goalkeeper Steve Simonson headed off to India once he left us, I'm sure, to play in the Indian League? I don't know what club it was that he went to, right enough, but I'm sure it was Indian football that he ended up, yeah.
Good luck to him, then. I won't do my accent, no.
No, definitely no. No, Dunny, please don't be done for racism. Dunny do that.
Former player David Templeton had a trial. Had a trial with Vancouver Whitecaps and he's now training with Dundee United. It's 18 months since he had a competitive game, so I don't know if he's still there or not. But
I mean, that's a player. Remember, we went on about him a long time. A guy had just, he seemed to have all this ability and skill in the world, and just shocking that can happen to a player that he's not playing for anyone at all. Yeah. And you know, a guy that I really did have high hopes for, and sadly, due to injury and whatever else in his personal life, it's just not happened for him. So I wish him all the best, but I don't want him to do well for Dundee United.
Certainly not. Next one, former loanee player, Gideon Zalalem, has gone on loan to Dutch side second tier VVV Venlo.
Was he no away to Borussia Dortmund?
He was certainly strongly linked with them, but I don't think it, obviously it never went through.
Dutch second division team.
Aye. It's a strange one. I think he was caught when he was walking to the stadium. He just came out of his car, and just after it happened, I don't think he looked too happy. So I would have taken him back. Certainly, he's certainly got a decent prospect, but I don't think that's going to help him much, is it?
He was a good player. He was very lightweight. I actually think he's a very similar player to Jason Holt that we've got. Technically, he's got all the ability, but does, you know, struggle a bit, you know, playing in a more physical league. I actually think that, Martin Waghorn should give up his role as being a player and become Jason Holt's fitness coach, because you can see him, he's personal trainer, because you can see what he's done to bulk himself up and all that. You know, he's lost all his pace and stuff like that, and his goal scoring touch, but he certainly fucking looks good. He looks like the Iron Man now.
Apart from his silver hair.
I know. Get in there and get Jason Holt bulked up, and I think that would help him out big time, because I really do like Jason Holt, but I just think he's just far too lightweight in this league.
Say it to my face then. Rotten, give me 20.
I thought you were a Danish Indian accent. No pod goes without you having to do a shit accent.
Definitely not. I've got to get it in somehow.
I know, in your accent as well.
Former player, I'm just going to say former player every time now. Andy Little has signed with Stirling Albion, my local club.
Oh,
so.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Another player who proved himself playing in the top league to score goals, Derek. And he's still under 30, as you know. I mean,
I think so.
Another strange one. I mean, he was out for quite a long time not playing. He was playing for Preston, so that's a fantastic signing for the likes of Stirling Albion. You'd like to think he'd be banging the goals in there.
Yep. Ian Black has joined Blackpool, so any guest houses, get your orders in for your decorating.
you've been working on that one, eh?
I honestly just came up with that there, because I was running through the list and I was thinking, oh, there we go, we need to say something about him. I'm quick sometimes, you know.
Oh dear.
That's what she said.
I've heard that before.
Robbie Crawford has signed for East Kilbride and scored in his debut. So,
all right, okay.
Certainly a team that seems to be, you know, kind of in the media quite a bit these days. And Dave alluded it to it earlier. It's not a new signing, but Nico Kranjčar back in full training with the squad. So hopefully he gets his fitness back up and getting the team. But I think, you know, you can almost write off this season, because by the time he's up to speed again, back in the team, it'll be end of the season. So
I think Kranjčar playing with, I almost say hatchet man, but let's say a good strong defensive midfielder behind him would be a really good signing and a really good player for us. But we don't have anybody like that, unfortunately, just now. Spoke about Andy Halliday earlier on, but he's just had, in my opinion, a dreadful season this season. He's just not been the player that he was last year at all. So I don't know if Kranjčar would be a good fit just now or not, but at the same time, the team's playing that badly, surely couldn't be any worse than what we've got.
Well, me and you could go in, sir, and I think we would be a better performance. So,
well,
certainly me anyway.
Aye, definitely.
Raith Rovers are hosting a tribute night on April the 17th for Jim Baxter to mark his 50 years since his famous performance against England, where he played Keepy Uppy. So that's in Kirkcaldy, someplace I can't remember where. But certainly Slim Jim, you know, I've obviously wasn't alive to see him, and I've only seen, obviously, you know, screenshots, and I've actually just started reading Tom Miller's book about him as well. So absolutely legend for the club, and, you know, that should be a good night for all.
Yeah, definitely.
Another potential good night here. Well, I say potential good night because it's the Rangers Player of the Year Awards dinner. Exactly.
That's going to be difficult.
Exactly.
To be honest with you, that is going to be difficult.
They're always meant to be good nights, these types of things, though, and it's to be held on the 23rd of April at the Glasgow Hilton. £120 plus VAT per ticket, or £1,000 plus VAT for a table of 10. And at a minimum of 2 people per table.
I think so. Kenny's got that in the bag.
I'd like to think so anyway. And another thing here is the Rangers Charity Fun Run being held on Saturday the 8th of April. They're doing a 2.5k junior and wheelchair race, plus a 5k and a 10k. £10 to register, £5 for juniors to register, and if you raise over £100, then you'll be invited to be a True Blue Hero reception, and Moles is running the race also.
Excellent.
So I'm currently running the now on my treadmill, but I don't think I'll be fully fit in time to even apply for the 5k.
Okay.
So. Next year was a bit of a funny one. I don't think, I was looking at this last night, I don't think there's been an outcome yet, but 72-year-old Albert, I'll say his name, I don't even need to say his name because he's one of them, but Albert Kinloch is suing Coral Bookies for not paying out £250k after a bet that we would be relegated. He put £100 on when it was £251 before we were demoted. Coral correctly see it as a demotion, and he's arguing relegation, but I don't think there's been any outcome on that yet, despite it being held in mid-January, I think.
Yawn. Yeah. That's all I can say, aye. Pathetic, but
it's quite funny, you know, the way they see it. So
I know, and there's still a vast majority of numbskulls online that are taking this as a huge story and trying to prove, oh, that proves certain points, and all this absolute nonsense as well. So
it's the argument is, if we were relegated, we would have been in the first division.
Yes,
surely.
Exactly.
No, says it all. Next thing here, after all the japes of Ibrox roof falling down before the last Old Firm game there, after high winds at the start of January, part of the cladding blew off the roof outside Celtic Park, leaving a big gaping hole.
Yeah, it's hilarious. As soon as I seen it, I had to retweet it. The irony is unbelievable.
Yep.
But again, no much said about that at all. No, you know, there was nothing said from them or anything like that. Even idiots like their captain coming away and trying to make wee jokes about it during press conferences and stuff like that. It was all swept under the carpet as quickly as possible. So
I will say one thing though, I did manage to see the invoice for the repairs, all taken care of by Glasgow City Council.
No, I didn't believe that for a second. Surely not.
That's how rumours start.
No, right? Exactly. Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. Talking of rumours and liars and things like that, this John James fellow, sit on the fence. I don't know where to start.
Sit on the fence, my arse.
He's, again, another one who... I never even, tweeted anything nasty to him. I never even tweeted anything questionable to him. I asked him simple questions on something and he blocked both my personal account and the iReady one. But he had claimed that Greenock had... Morton hadn't been paid their share of the money for the Scottish Cup game we played against them. And quite unbelievably, I can't believe I'm saying this, but the Daily Record actually published a story on their website and completely rubbished it and actually called him an outright liar.
The Daily Record did?
They did, yeah.
Really? Oh, I didn't see that.
Certainly the Daily Record.
I'm really quite surprised at that.
Yeah, exactly. And then after that story broke, he put a wee quick ad to his post about it and saying, oh, it was my inquiries and my postings that led Rangers to go and pay at QuickSmart. So
I heard that. And also... Greenock Morton put an official tweet out also on their Twitter site to say that it was basically a lot of nonsense and they'd been paid on time and there was no issues at all.
And what was even funnier, I did actually go onto his website just to see this and I seen some of the comments after and before obviously the story broke that it was a load of rubbish, people were commenting absolutely brilliant, James, brilliant, absolutely brilliant, I've just hit the donate button right now. This thick fuck still actually donating to that?
Yes, anything that's a negative today with our club, Derek, and there are complete and utter head cases out there who, are desperate to get in on it, are desperate for things to be true, which are basically just a lot of nonsense.
Yes. So we'll move on to the weird and wacky here. Football related first. A goalkeeper was sent off in a junior football match for urinating at the side of the pitch. And it just had his red card suspension being dropped.
Is that right?
Yeah. So he went off to have a wee tinkle.
Derek, I ran an amateur team for years, which was basically all my pals that we all went drinking with. And I ran the team. And I don't know how many times the guys would stand at the side of the park and hear pee if they were needing it. You know what I mean? That's not a strange one to me.
So anyway, the keeper got his red card reduced to the colour of his urine, a yellow.
Okay. His urine was yellow?
Yeah.
Aye.
What colour's yours like?
It depends how much I've been drinking.
Next story. Aberdeen stripper Sam Fowler turns to porn because the North Sea oil crisis has left her skint.
Excellent, right there. I can see a picture here. Yes! Let's go. Scroll down.
Sam, who appears in X-rated flicks as Aberdeen, says her wages dried up during the slump as punters no longer have the cash to splash.
Excellent, let me see. Oh, wow. Okay.
So she's turned to porn instead of stripping. Oh, well.
Well, I can see the website you're on as well, Derek.
Yeah.
And it's in the newspaper, in that newspaper's website, so it must be true.
It must
That's
be true.
That's a big, big clue for everyone if you see what website it is that you're looking at.
Next story. Romping Ronio? Ronio, oh, Ronio, without thy Ronio. Romping Romeo's... I can't say that, it's quite hard to say that.
Romping Romeo's.
Romping Romeo's.
Right.
Romping Romeo's sex noises spark feud with his neighbour. William Mercer and his girlfriend got so carried away with the nocturnal activities that is the raging neighbour, Carla Baird, called the cops on them. A man has been cleared of threatening his pregnant neighbour when she complained about their noisy late-night sex sessions.
Okay.
Unbelievable, some people... It's just jealousy, that's all it is. And last one I've got here.
It's my favourite!
And what's going to shock you?
Did you do this specially because you knew I was coming here?
No, I never actually. Fans of 80s pop group Go West were thrilled when what they took to be a tribute to their heroes were booked to play their local boozer. But they were stunned to find the band were a husband and wife two-piece whose tribute was to Fred and Rose West. And they dressed exactly like them as well.
Now, Derek, I don't know if you're looking at that picture of Fred West. Now, as you know, you've seen the pictures of me when I was a wee boy. My mother wasn't very kind to me when I was younger, and my hair was allowed to grow completely out of, the shortener or the length that it should have been, and I had basically a big, massive, crazy afro. And there's a picture that I brought in to give all the folk at work a good laugh, and someone basically told me that I was Fred West and Susan Boyle's love child. It's actually quite worrying. Looking at that picture there of Fred West that you've got on your computer, I actually did look like that when I was young.
Certainly the hair, anyway.
Anyway, talking about hair, Derek, when are you getting that fucking cut?
I'm growing it.
That is like, it's getting out of control now, man, that hair.
I was trying to do it Joey Barton-esque, wasn't it?
You still in love with his hair,
aye? Damn right, aye. The guy's an arse, but his hair's beautiful.
Oh, dearie dear.
Yes. Pretty much on that point, that kind of wraps up the podcast for this time. It's actually been a shorter one than that.
I'm quite surprised, actually, because we did have a wee sort of break for maybe about 15 minutes in between, so I'm quite surprised.
Yeah. So, we will try and get a podcast out quite shortly again, hopefully in between the bunch of games I did mention there. So,
well, the one thing that I will say, Derek, is that I will be off my feet for probably 3 or 4 weeks, so I'm going to be off my work, so working shifts and that won't be an issue for the next few weeks, so we'll definitely get a pod out within the next fortnight, just basically to give me something to do, because by that point I'll have watched every single box set there is to watch, I think, by that point. So
lucky you.
Aye, exactly. So no, we'll definitely get a pod out much quicker than what we have done recently. But I must admit, I've enjoyed this tonight, coming here. I'll have to come back again for us to record.
Who says you're fucking invited? Like, fucking eat, drink me out of the house and home, you know, slag my hair, you know.
Says you that brings up a picture of Fred West when I walk in.
Yes, absolutely, any time. We will need to do it again, and we'll need to try and get a drinking session going when we're doing this at one point
and
as well. So.
Derek, I know we keep saying it, I would like to try and get somebody else on the pod with us. We keep attempting it and we keep failing miserably, and I know we keep talking about Tom Miller, who has always came back to us and said that we'd get on. I would love to get him on the pod, get some other folk on. I know you bumped into the guys from the We Welcome the Chase pod as well. We really need to try and get someone on. Possibly if I come back here, it would maybe be easier for you to get somebody else on for us to listen to, and you know, I think we'd have got quite a good laugh there, so we really need to try and get that fixed as well.
Yep.
But we've been saying that for three seasons now.
Well, pretty much, as I said.
By the way, did you know 5 years ago today, me and you became pals on Facebook?
I did notice that, aye. Yes. That's just freaky, the fact that we were doing this tonight.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Facebook friends and,
exactly,
you know, enemies in life. Yes, so that about wraps it up. So thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Yes, hopefully by the time we go, we'll have Frank De Boer in charge, and we'll have won our merchandise battle with Mike Ashley, and a £50 million investment for Red Bull will have came in by that point.
And also Frank De Boer's daughter will be at some point in the club as well.
I thought you were going to say something else there.
And on that bombshell, as they say,
yes.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Brilliant. Pardon me.